The Lord be with you.
Also.
If you'd like to be seated. I'd like to say good morning and a very warm welcome to everyone on a very warm day as we gather together to worship on this service of morning prayer. And today in our service, we're going to be reflecting a little bit on how living the Christian life sometimes puts us in tension with the world around us. That's the theme of our service today. On the way in, you will have seen some notices for the week that is to come. Wanted in particular to draw attention to a meeting on Tuesday night. As many people will be aware, the church is celebrating our 90th anniversary in the month of September. And on the weekend of our foundation, on the 10th of September, we're hoping to have a community fun day. And we're hoping to invite the local community in. There's going to be lots of attractions, and we hope to just be able to showcase a little bit about what we're about as a church community. So if you can help with that day, there is a meeting. We're looking for all the volunteers who've signed our list and all those involved in planning that day on Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock in the church hall. Wednesday evening, our Pilates classes have resumed at 7 o'clock. There's the opportunity to come along. If you've never tried it before, you'll be made very welcome on Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock in the church hall. Wednesday morning, our service of Holy Communion with prayers for those who are sick. Every Thursday evening, the church meets to pray over Zoom. And this coming Thursday, instead of meeting at 7 o'clock, we're going to be meeting at 8 o'clock. And there will be an invitation sent out just to remind people of that. And our services next Sunday are Holy Communion at 11 o'clock and Holy Communion at 7 o'clock. We also want to, particularly just before we sing our opening hymn today, we want to say a warm welcome to those who are joining us online. During the week, I've had some lovely messages from people who worship with us Sunday by Sunday in different parts of the world, maybe people who have left here and now live elsewhere. And we just want you to know that you're especially welcome, and we're delighted that you can worship with us wherever you are. We're also conscious of many people who can't come on a Sunday morning, maybe because they're caring for a loved one at home, and we're just delighted that you can join with us online, if not at this exact time, maybe at a later point in the day. And we want you to know that we're so glad that you're worshiping with us today. As we begin our service, we're going to stand to sing together our opening hymn, Jesus Calls Us, or The Tumult.
Thank you.
Our service today is the service of morning prayer. Beloved in Christ, we come together this morning to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit, we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. So let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past and grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our psalm appointed for this morning is a cry for the Lord's mercy and healing. And we're going to share together some verses from Psalm 80, which you'll see on the screen. Hear, O Shepherd of Israel.
Hear, O Shepherd of Israel, you that led Joseph like a flock. Shine forth, you that are enthroned upon the cherubim, before Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh. You brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You made room around it, and when it had taken root, it filled the land. The hills were covered with its shadow, and the cedars of God by its boughs. It stretched out its branches to the sea and its tendrils to the river. Why then have you broken down its wall so that all who pass by pluck off its grapes? The wild boar out of the wood tears it off, and all the insects of the field devour it. Turn again, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and behold. Cherish this vine which your right hand has planted, and the branch that you made so strong for yourself. Let those who burnt it with fire, who cut it down, perish at the rebuke of your countenance. Let your hand be upon the man at your right hand, the Son of Man you made so strong for yourself. And so will we not go back from you. Give us life, and we shall call upon your name. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Show the light of your countenance, and we shall be saved.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
And if you'd like to be seated.
The Old Testament lesson is written in the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. I will sing for the one I love a song about his vineyard. My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He dug it up and cleared it of stones and planted it with the choicest vines. He built a watchtower in it and cut out a wine press as well. Then he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit. Now you dwellers in Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done for my vineyard that I have not done? When I looked for the good grapes, why did it yield only bad? Now I will tell you what I am going to do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge, and it will be destroyed. I will break down its wall, and it will be trampled. I will make it a wasteland, neither pruned nor cultivated, and briars and thorns will grow there. I will command the clouds not to rain on it. The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the nation of Israel, and the people of Judah are the vines he delighted in. And he looked for justice, but saw bloodshed, for righteousness, but heard cries of distress. This is the word of the Lord.
We're going to sing together in response to our Bible reading as we sing, "The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want."
The New Testament lesson is written in the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 12, beginning at verse 49. Jesus said, "I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and what constraint I am under until it is completed. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be five in one family divided against each other, three against two, and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He said to the crowd, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say, 'It's going to rain,' and it does. And when the south wind blows, you say, 'It's going to be hot,' and it is. Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time?" This is the word of the Lord.
We're going to join together now to affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen. Let us pray. Our special collect prayer for this morning, the ninth Sunday after Trinity, as we thank God for the gift of his Holy Spirit. Almighty God, who sent your Holy Spirit to be the life and light of your church, open our hearts to the riches of his grace, that we may bring forth the fruit of the Spirit in love and joy and peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. O God, the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversaries. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Go before us, Lord, in all our doings with your most gracious favor, and further us with your continual help, that in all our works, begun, continued, and ended in you, we may glorify your holy name, and finally, by your mercy, attain everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Our next hymn is a hymn all about commitment and our desire to serve God with our whole hearts as we sing Jesus, All for Jesus.
Thank you.
God, help us to listen to your word with understanding, to receive it with faith, and to obey it with courage, for Christ's sake. Amen. Every now and then you hear of a study that has been conducted to see what effect religion has on a person's health. Well, in one such study conducted a while ago at a medical research center, doctors had collated the relationship between frequent church attendance and health. One of their findings was that people who attend church regularly, as opposed to people who attend church infrequently, enjoy lower blood pressure and visit the doctor less often. So I suppose we ought to be pleased that being here this morning is having a good effect on our blood pressure. However, I wonder what effect today's gospel reading had on our hypertension and stress levels. Jesus' opening words of his sermon were, "I came to set the earth on fire, and how I wish it were already kindled." Well, that's not a very soothing and comforting beginning, is it? But I'm sure he had the attention of his listeners. And as people listened to Jesus' words, they became even more disturbing. "Do you suppose that I came to bring peace to the world? No, not peace, but division." Well, that really increases stress levels even more. But didn't the angel say when Jesus was born that his birth would bring peace on earth? Yet here Jesus is saying directly the opposite. He didn't come to bring peace. He came to provoke division, not unity. He says that homes will be wrecked, families will be split apart, and children will turn against their parents. Now, it's true, we live in a time when there is a lot of marital and family stress. Divorce rates have never been higher. Counselors are swamped with children who have to deal with stress in their families. The courts deal with problem children and problem parents every day. But this is not what Jesus is talking about. He is telling his listeners that they will have marital and family division not because they have done something wrong as spouses or as parents, but rather because they are following him. You see, when it comes to the meaning of discipleship, the cost that is involved, the conflict and division that the gospel can cause, Jesus calls a spade a spade. He knows that in the future, there will be division between those who believe in Jesus and those who reject Jesus. And this will cause hardship for some of his followers. It will mean that families and friendships will be severely tested, when trusting Jesus will cause one person to reject another. And he is giving his followers this warning now so that they will not be shocked when following him will mean some very tough choices. And what can be tougher than choosing between loyalty to family and loyalty to Jesus? Perhaps an example might go well at this point. A university chaplain tells this story. "Some time ago, I performed the baptism of a student. This young man had become convinced that Jesus was his savior and requested to be baptized. He was a student from China. I talked with him before his baptism and made sure that he had a good understanding of the Christian faith and the questions that we would ask him at his baptism. He was baptized during our worship service in front of a very excited congregation. I was also very excited and had brought my camera. After the service, I made a big deal of having him stand again at the baptismal font and have his picture taken, and then one with his Christian friends gathered around him. He seemed somewhat reticent to have his photograph taken. I attributed this to his shyness. But on the way out to the car park, one of his friends said, "I don't know that you will need to give him those pictures to send back home to his family. They have warned him that if he ever became a Christian, he could never go back home. They would definitely disown him." The chaplain finished his story saying, "So I guess this young Christian's baptism was what Jesus was talking about, the division that loyalty to Jesus can easily bring into a person's life." Jesus' words were, "Do you suppose that I came to bring peace to the world? No, not peace, but division." We focus a lot on the comfort and peace and joy that Jesus gives to us when we are troubled by the events that happen in our lives. We rely on Jesus and his love for us. There is no one else who can help us. Our faith looks to Jesus to provide a way through the stress and trouble that comes our way. We need Jesus to carry us when we're too weak to carry on by ourselves. That's the kind of Jesus we read about when we are told he looked with compassion on those who were helpless and harassed. That's the Jesus who says, "I am the good shepherd. I know those who belong to me, and no one will snatch them out of my hands." That's the Jesus who says, "Don't be worried and stressed. Trust in God. Trust also in me." And we need that kind of Jesus. We need the love and comfort and help that he gives us when life's journey takes all kinds of twists and turns that catch us completely by surprise. But I wonder if our emphasis on this kind of Jesus is to the detriment of the Jesus who is very stern when it comes to compromising our discipleship, when it comes to watering down our commitment to him and saying quietly to ourselves, "Jesus won't mind. Everyone else is doing it." Or, "I don't like what's happening at my church. Jesus won't mind if I drop out." I wonder if we are aware that we offend Jesus when we dilute the life he wants us to live with the values of the rest of society. To what extent are we prepared to put ourselves at risk, go out on a limb as a Christian? To what extent are we prepared to stand up for what we believe, even when others think we're a bit weird? Or have we just blended in with those who clearly don't know what is God's way? To what extent have we merged with the values and morals of the world so that being a Christian makes no difference whatsoever? For example, when we are faced with choices, which mean either following God's way or the way of the world, is Jesus really the controlling factor? In, for instance, how we decide what we're going to spend our money on, or how we will use our time, or the way we raise our children, or what kind of language we use, and so on. That's precisely what Jesus is talking about today in our gospel reading. Being a Christian will often put us in tension with others. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 12, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know what God wants you to do, and you will know how good and pleasing and perfect His will really is." Let God change us into new people. Jesus died for us, and through Him we are made into new people with a new way of living, a new way of thinking that is especially influenced by what God wants us to do rather than the attitudes and beliefs of everyone else. Yes, Jesus does mind if we try to tack on our Christianity to our old ways or let worldly ways water down our Christian values. The new life demands an end to the old loyalties, old ways of behavior, old attitudes. Jesus calls us to have a lifestyle that is often in tension with the world. Jesus knew that his disciples would fail him in that hour he needed them the most. And he knows that we too will often fail to put off the old and put on the new life that he has given us through his death and resurrection. That's why he is always ready to reach out, to bless us, to forgive us, and to reassure us that even though we fail, we still belong to him. He renews and recreates and refills us with the will and the energy to follow his ways and to live according to God's plan for our lives. I'm going to finish with those words from the letter to the Hebrews that remind us how to stay true to our calling as disciples. Let us rid ourselves of everything that gets in the way, and let us run with determination the race that lies before us. Let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from beginning to end. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, when we think of your commitment to us, we are ashamed of our disloyalty to you and our failure to stand up for your kingdom. We keep quiet about our faith for fear of embarrassment. We close our eyes and ears to wrongdoing rather than risk unpopularity. We water down our principles for the sake of an easy peace. In so many ways, Lord, we let you down, offering you an empty, secret discipleship. Forgive us our weakness and cowardice, and give us courage to stand up for what we believe and declare you as Lord of our lives. Help us to fix our eyes on you, on whom our faith depends from beginning to end. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for the nations of the world. This morning we pray especially for those who suffer because of unjust governments and oppressive regimes, for those imprisoned for their faith, and those who suffer torture and harassment, for those rejected and hated, even by family and friends, because of their commitment to you. We pray that you would give them the courage not to turn back and strength to stand firm in difficult circumstances. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we remember how throughout your ministry, you looked to bring healing and wholeness. We remember how you cured the sick, brought hope to the brokenhearted, peace of mind to those who were troubled, and forgiveness to those burdened by guilt or failure. Lord, we take a quiet moment now to bring before you all in any kind of need, especially those known to us, praying again for your healing and renewing touch in body, mind, and spirit. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we sum up our prayers by joining together in the words you taught your disciples. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
And so as we reflect on that challenge that we have heard this morning, that's the theme of our next hymn in response, as we sing, "Take up thy cross," the Saviour said.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing with us in our service today. And as our service draws to a close, we're going to bow our heads for God's blessing. We're going to ask him to equip us and guide us for the week that is to come. May God, the Holy Trinity, make you strong in faith and love, defend you on every side, and guide you in truth and peace. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you this day and forevermore. Don't forget, if you haven't had the opportunity already, the church wardens do have a list at the back of the church if you can help us on that weekend of the Community Fun Day. And we're looking to involve everybody, whether you can pray at home or whether you can come and help, we'd be delighted of your help. We're going to close our service today as we sing the hymn, Fight the Good Fight.